Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The 2020 Democratic presidential hopefuls, you know, over the weekend, they continued to perpetuate a myth, a falsity, a certainly, you know, what I would call a lie, all done, I think, in an effort to divide and foster racial tension. They continue to do it. The pandering for votes in this political process right now, at the expense of law enforcement, whether it be Border Patrol, immigration, or just all of the men and women in law enforcement across this country, is absolutely despicable. The hands up, don't shoot myth is still alive today, and it needs to come to an end. But nobody wants to allow it, in spite of the fact that President Obama's Justice Department's investigation and findings have found otherwise. And these Democratic candidate statements, they're absolutely despicable. And we're going to talk about that. You know, it's great. Elizabeth Warren, 5 years ago, because the anniversary just came up, 5 years ago, Michael Brown was murdered by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Michael was unarmed, yet he was shot 6 times. I stand with activists and organizers who continue to fight for justice for Michael. We must confront systemic racism and police violence head on. Then, another Kamala Harris, Michael Brown's murder forever changed Ferguson in America. His tragic death, it was a tragic death, sparked a desperately needed conversation and nationwide movement. We must fight for stronger accountability and racial equity in our justice system. Beto O'Rourke, 5 years ago, Michael Brown was shot dead by a police officer. In the years since, we've heard too many names, too many similar stories to count. In each, we are reminded an idea as urgent and as ignored today as when Michael was killed. Black Lives Matter. Kirsten Gillibrand, 5 years ago, a Ferguson police officer killed Michael Brown, an unarmed teenager. He was shot 6 times. Nothing will bring Michael back, but we can't stop fighting the injustice due to his family and so many others until we do better. Really? Tim Ryan, 5 years since the tragic death. We must rebuild trust between police and the communities they have sworn to protect. De Blasio, like Eric Garner, Michael Brown should be here today. My city knows the pain of Ferguson all too well, and what we've learned has fundamentally changed us. There's more to do, and we'll be at it a while. But our mission is clear. No one should die due to the color of their skin. I don't know what this case had to do with the color of his skin. Cory Booker, 5 years ago, Michael Brown was killed by a police officer. His body lay on the street for hours. He was treated with before he was treated with humanity. I have been thinking all day about Mike and his family, and my prayers are with them. Now, the police officer that worked in this case, life was completely destroyed. Forever. He'll never be a police officer again. So, you know, much like I did before, let's go to the Department of Justice report under the Obama administration. This is the President Barack Obama's Justice Department that issued this report, and you will remember Eric Holder was part of the issue that created this urban myth of hands up, don't shoot, that never happened. And it starts out that on August 9th, Officer Darren Wilson of the Ferguson Police Department shot and killed Michael Brown, an unarmed 18-year-old. The criminal section of the Department of Justice, Civil Rights, U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri, and the FBI opened a criminal investigation into whether the shooting violated federal law. The department conducted an extensive investigation into the shooting of Michael Brown. Federal authorities reviewed physical, ballistic, forensic, and crime scene evidence, medical reports, and autopsy reports, including an independent autopsy performed by the United States Department of Defense, Armed Forces Medical Examiner Service, Wilson's personnel records, audio and video recordings, and internet postings. FBI agents then independently canvassed more than 300 residences to locate and interview additional witnesses. The principles of federal prosecution set forth require federal prosecutors to meet two standards to seek an indictment. One, they must be convinced that the potential defendant committed a crime, federal crime. And second, they must conclude that it will be likely to prevail at trial, where we must prove the charges beyond a reasonable doubt. When we come back, I'm going to give you the summary of what they found. And you tell me, how can these folks in good conscience say what they say and square that up to what the Department of Justice found? Yet again, a smokescreen, a misstatement, trying to weaponize and divide us. We'll be right back. A lot of people texted in and say, we don't want to hear about that report. We have no interest in that report. We have no interest in knowing what the truth is or what the facts are. We want to believe what we want to believe. Hands up, don't shoot. Urban myth, fiction, didn't happen. Once pieced together with all of the witness testimony, a fiction. So the report says, summary of the evidence. Within 2 minutes of Wilson's initial encounter with Brown on August 9, 2014, the Ferguson Police Department officers responded to the scene of the shooting and subsequently turned the matter over to the St. Louis County Police Department for investigation. The FBI opened their investigation 2 days later and took the investigation with the SLCPD. The encounter between Wilson and Brown lasted for about 2 minutes. Wilson was on duty and driving his department-issued Tahoe when he saw Brown and his friend walking eastbound in the middle of the street. Brown and this witness, the friend, had just come from the Ferguson Market and Liquor Store, a nearby convenience store, where at approximately 11:53, just a few minutes earlier, 7 to be exact, Brown stole several packages of cigarillos. As captured on a store surveillance video, when the store clerk tried to stop Brown, Brown used his physical size to stand over him and forcefully shove him away. As a result, the Ferguson Police Department dispatch call went out as a stealing in progress. They gave suspect information and description of the suspects. And therefore, that is when Wilson came in contact with Brown. When he identified them, he said he went on the air, said he had two men walking on the sidewalk. According to Wilson's statement, he suspected that Brown and witness were involved in the incident at Ferguson Market based on the descriptions and the cigarillos that he could see in Brown's hands. Wilson then called for backup, stating, "Put me on Canefield with two and send me another car." Wilson backed up his SUV and parked at an angle, blocking most of the lanes of traffic and stopping Brown and the witness from walking any further. He attempted to open the driver's door to exit, but as it swung open, it came in contact with Brown's body and either rebounded close or Brown pushed it close. Wilson and other witnesses stated that Brown then reached into the SUV through the open driver's window, punched and grabbed Wilson. This is corroborated by bruising on Wilson's jaw and scratches on his neck, the presence of Brown's DNA on Wilson's collar, shirt, and pants, and Wilson's DNA on Brown's palm. So they transferred DNA to one another while he was still sitting in the unit. While there are other individuals who stated that Wilson reached out of the SUV and grabbed Brown by the neck, prosecutors could not credit their accounts because they were inconsistent with physical and forensic evidence as detailed throughout this report. Wilson had told the prosecutors and the investigators that he responded to Brown reaching into the SUV and punching him by withdrawing his gun because he could not access less than lethal weapons while seated inside the SUV. Remember, He's right-handed. Your gun is on your strong side. That's the side away from Brown. Wilson fired, striking Brown in the hand. Autopsy results in bullet trajectory skin from Brown's palm on the outside of the SUV door, as well as Brown's DNA on the inside of the driver's door, corroborate Wilson's account. Brown used his right hand to grab and attempt to control Wilson's gun. According to three autopsies, Brown sustained a close-range gunshot wound to the fleshy portion of his right hand at the base of the right thumb. Soot from the muzzle of the gun found embedded in the tissue of this wound, coupled with indicia of thermal change from the heat of the muscle, indicate that Brown's hand was within inches of the muzzle of Wilson's gun when it was fired. The location of the recovered bullet in the side panel of the driver's door just above Wilson's lap also corroborates Wilson's account of the struggle over the gun when the gun was fired, as do witness accounts that Wilson fired at least one shot from inside of the SUV. After the initial shooting inside the SUV, the evidence establishes that Brown ran east on Canefield and Wilson chased after him. The autopsy results confirm that Wilson did not shoot Brown in the back and he was running away because there were no entrance wounds to Brown's back. If you recall, many witnesses have said that that's exactly what happened, but it didn't happen. Witnesses who say so cannot be relied upon in the prosecution because they gave accounts that are inconsistent with the physical and forensic evidence or are significantly inconsistent with their own prior statements made throughout the investigation. And that happened over and over and over again. We'll continue with the report when we come back. Stay with us. On the text line, the Michael Brown murder was simply the spark. Gas was already there. Plus, please read your one-sided report. One-sided? This is the Justice Department's report under the Obama administration. Wake up! It's staring you in the face. Brown ran at least 180 feet away from the SUV, which was verified by the bloodstains on the roadway, which DNA analysis confirms was Brown's blood. Brown then turned around and came back towards Wilson. He ultimately fell to his death west of the blood in the roadway. Those witnesses' accounts stating Brown never moved back toward Wilson could not be relied upon in a prosecution because their accounts can't be reconciled with the DNA bloodstain evidence and other credible witness accounts. Those were all the same witnesses that were on TV every other minute trying to craft this myth of hands up, don't shoot. As detailed through the report, several witnesses stated that Brown appeared to pose a physical threat to Wilson as he moved towards Wilson. According to these witnesses, who are corroborated by blood evidence in the roadway, Brown continued to move towards Wilson. In fact, the report says that there are even some people that said he was running towards Wilson. Wilson shot him several more times. Although there are several individuals who have stated that Brown held his hands up in an unambiguous sign of surrender prior to the Wilson shooting him dead, their accounts do not support a prosecution of Wilson. As detailed throughout this report, some of those accounts are inaccurate because they are inconsistent with the physical and forensic evidence. Some of those accounts are materially inconsistent with that witness's own prior statements with no explanation, credible for otherwise, as to why those accounts changed over time. The very same witnesses that said, hands up, don't shoot, then recanted their stories and said that that's not what happened. Certain other witnesses who originally stated he had his hands up and surrendered recanted, admitting they did not witness the shooting or parts of it, despite what they initially reported to federal or local law enforcement or to the media. Prosecutors cannot rely on those accounts. They all established that Brown moved towards Wilson when Wilson shot him. So what was the outcome? What was the findings of this report? Number one, the shootings were not objectively unreasonable uses of force. So what does that mean? He used the appropriate force necessary. Number two, Wilson did not willfully violate Brown's constitutional right to be free from unreasonable force. So they found that Wilson's account was completely and totally credible. By the forensic evidence and other evidence available to them at that point in time. But yet the 2020 candidates for president say that he murdered him. A good number of these candidates are lawyers. They know what this report says. This is not a murder. It's a justifiable killing. And the force that was used was found by the Obama administration's Department of Justice to be reasonable. But once again, in Woketopia, it is vogue to villainize law enforcement. Because all we are is racist. Officer Wilson didn't pick the race of the perpetrator of the robbery at the store. He simply responded to information that was given out over the radio. He had nothing to do with all of the circumstances that led up to their altercation. So who was in the best position to avoid what happened that day? Not unlike other instances we talked about, the decedent. And in fact, in the report, it says, at the time of the interview of Wilson, they knew, the agents that is, they were aware of the autopsy results, the DNA results, the ballistic results, and everything as was detailed in this report. Now, Wilson didn't necessarily know that they knew, but what they found, and this is exactly what they said, Wilson's account was consistent with those results and consistent with the accounts of other independent eyewitnesses whose accounts were also consistent with the physical evidence. Wilson's statement were consistent with each other in all material ways and would not be subject to effective impeachment for inconsistencies or deviation from the physical evidence. Therefore, in analyzing all of the evidence, federal prosecutors found Wilson's account to be credible. Does that sound like a murderer to you? We'll be right back. Let's go to line one and talk to Tom. What say you, Tom?
Hey, Newell, how are you?
Doing great.
Happy summertime. I just wanted to say to the people that are going on about how, you know, this isn't important. It is important because this could happen anywhere.
What could happen anywhere?
I grew up in Ferguson. What happened between Michael Brown and the policeman could happen anywhere. And then your businesses aren't worth anything. Then your housing isn't worth anything. And you have all these outside forces coming in and messing with you is basically what happened. I grew up in Ferguson. I know a little bit about which I speak.
Well, you know, part of the problem here, as I point out, look, I'm not saying that there's not officers that have malintent and evil in their heart. Mm-hmm. They do. They have people in every walk of life that present with that. But the facts are is that when it's not present, you can't bootstrap it to make it fit your narrative.
And in
this case, that's exactly what they did. And I'm not saying that there wasn't something going on in Ferguson. You know what's interesting about Ferguson? 6% prior to that incident, majority of the folks in that jurisdiction were black. 6% voter turnout in the most mm-hmm. recent elections.
Claire McCaskill and a bunch of people showed up at a town hall. They swarmed a town hall to tell them just that.
You know, so They have no one to blame but themselves as it relates to the leadership and those issues. Get involved.
Correct.
Your ability to vote, your basic rights as a citizen in this country, exercise them because they have meaning. But don't villainize Officer Wilson.
Right.
And that's what he became the scapegoat of a myth.
And he might be in a trailer park somewhere hidden away.
He's done.
He can't come out.
He would have much rather been off that day. I can promise you.
Yeah.
All he was doing was what he was obligated to do under the law. And everyone has made him out to be a villain, including these 2020 Democratic hopefuls who know better, who know the Department of Justice outcome and the findings of their investigation.
I want to say one thing about the Democrats, and that is there's going to be another anniversary of one of these other killings, and they'll probably do the same thing. They're not being informed. Their people around them are, you know, they're just.
And look, if the police were wrong, they were wrong, and I'll come out and say it. But when they're not wrong, when the evidence, and now they're, you know, now I got people texting, well, you know, Department of Justice wasn't independent. Really? Eric Holder and the Department of Justice, they helped foster this myth. And then when they got a report and they started getting involved in the investigation, they didn't know what to do with themselves at that point in time. Thank you, Tom. Thanks, everyone, today. We'll see you again tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.